Welcome everybody to this new retreat that we begin today. The topic I chose for you, and I think you are very happy about it, I hope so, is prayer. The prayer, the importance of prayer. What is prayer, how to pray, and then the main development of this discourse will be about meditation, mental prayer, how to do mental prayer, which is very, very necessary for our spiritual life to grow in holiness. Without prayer, and especially without passing from vocal prayer to mental prayer, this is a very necessary passage. There is no growth, no spiritual growth. So my hope, my effort is to speak about this beautiful topic, which is a vast topic, but trying to be focused on this importance of prayer and on the importance, above all, of mental prayer. We can analyze more in depth this beautiful topic. But now, in order to introduce you to this topic, we have to understand why to pray. Yes? What is prayer and what's the necessity to pray? And I will be quoting especially some saints, and we make reference to the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to some important saints, and especially for your own information, there is a beautiful treatise on prayer, which is a treatise by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. And this is the great means of prayer as the great means of salvation and of perfection. There are many beautiful books about prayer. But this is very, very a basic one, to introduce you to the necessity of prayer, to the why we have to pray. Anyway, we start with Saint Alphonsus through the Gospel to come especially to understand the prayer with the help of a great, great master of prayer, a great saint, female saint, who is a doctor of the Church. And she is who?
Saint Teresa.
Saint Teresa of Avila, the great teacher of prayer. Well, let's now begin with prayer as the necessary means to salvation. Without prayer, we cannot persevere in grace and receive eternal salvation. This is the first point now to tackle in our meditation, in this first conference. We might ask ourselves, but prayer, yes. But why should I pray? God already knows everything. Why should I ask Him for something? And this is the best way to say, I don't need to pray, because God already knows everything. Yes, God knows. His eternal, His will, His knowledge and His will are eternal. And of course, when we pray, we do not change God's will. Actually, when we pray, we change our own will, our own self, in order to be able to understand God's will. So you have already a grasp of this importance of prayer. Prayer is very important for us to come into God's will and to do God's will in our lives. Without prayer, we do not understand what is God's plan. We do not come into a communion with God. So prayer is changing actually our own way of living, our own way of understanding the the gospel and the will of God. So prayer is important. Not in order, as St. Augustine explains clearly, prayer is important not to change the will of God, but to come into the will of God, to embrace it wholeheartedly. There is another important reason why to pray. We have to quote a great father of the Church, whose name is St. John Chrysostom. There is a beautiful definition of prayer. Prayer is to the soul what the soul is to the body. Prayer is to the soul what the soul is to the body. So the prayer is the soul of our soul. We have a soul, don't we?
Yes.
But in order to keep this soul alive, we need prayer. Prayer is the nourishment of our soul. And of course, another beautiful analogy to understand prayer, prayer is to the soul what the food is to the body. It's the food of our soul. Prayer is spiritually nourishing ourselves. So, as a body cannot live without food, sustenance, so a soul, our own soul, cannot live without a spiritual nourishment, without this spiritual food. But I think we should now speak a little bit about the soul in order to understand what we are speaking about. The prayer is the food of our soul, right?
Yeah.
And the soul is the way to keep ourselves alive, to keep alive our own body. So in order to understand what is prayer in relation to our soul, we have to understand what is the soul in relation to our body. Right?
Yes.
What is the soul then? We already spoke about this for those who were present during our first retreat. The soul. Where is the soul? Did you ever seen a soul walking around?
The spiritual and immaterial part of the human being?
The soul is spiritual, of course. You can't see the soul. But we understand that the soul is there, is present, in order to keep ourselves alive. And we can understand that the soul is there, is within ourselves, that we are spiritual because we have a soul. Because we can see the operations of the soul. The soul is manifest through some spiritual operations that we accomplish in order to be completely human. For example, there are spiritual activities that can only proceed from a spiritual nature, a spiritual principle. If we were not spiritual, we could not do anything spiritual. So what we do spiritually? Spiritually means not necessarily religious at the moment, but spiritually means something which is not material.
Thinking.
We think this is spiritual. And we do also something else, which is spiritual. We love. And unfortunately, we hate sometimes when we do not love. Even hating is spiritual. Where is this hate? It comes from me, unfortunately. When I love God, I love my children, I love my husband, my wife, my neighbor, in Christ's love. What I do the greatest spiritual action because I am doing something which is not material. Loving is not part of my brain, part of my heart as an organ pumping the blood in my veins. No. The love is a spiritual, is a not material action. But the fact that the love is not material it does not mean that love is nothing. No, love is great. Love is the very strength of my life, the very reason I want to marry that person, to choose religious life, to choose to follow only Christ. Right? Love. So, there are actions, there are things that I do in my life which are manifesting that I have a spiritual principle, that within myself there is something more than my only body. There is a soul. The soul then is the life of my body. The soul is the way I am rational and not only material. So the activities of my soul are basically two, or even three if we want: intelligence and will. I can understand something, and I can love. When I want something, I choose something because I love it, right? Or I don't want it because I don't like it, or I don't love it, I don't choose it. Intelligence and will. We can also add another action, another way to see the manifestation of my soul, which is the memory, when we can remember something. And the memory actually is the way we go back to some past events in our lives. Yes? Who is going back? My brain? It is the way my soul is extending back to that past event, which is no longer now present, but is still present within myself, in my soul. Keep this in mind, because the memory is very important for meditation. This is a faculty that Saint Teresa of Avila emphasizes as an important means to have a very good meditation. She says that there is the intellect has to exercise an important action in remembering something, in figuring something out. And this is the possibility that our intelligence is remembering something that we have, for example, seen years ago, to figure out some important places, some mysteries of our faith. Say, for example, if you have been to Holy Land, you have seen these beautiful places. After years, you can still figure out the Grotto of Nazareth, where the Annunciation took place. If you want to have a good meditation, for example, you choose the mystery of the Annunciation. What's the best way? With your intelligence, you are now here, no longer in the Holy Land. That image has remained within yourself, in your heart, in your memory. With your intelligence, you can go back to that place with your imagination, which is better we say with your memory. And with the help of the imagination, you can figure out spiritually that place, and being in the presence of Our Lady at the moment of the Annunciation. See? So this is just to let you know how important the memory is, in order to help the imagination and to help the intelligence to figure out the place and to have a good meditation. But we come back to this when we speak about meditation. Now it is important to understand what the memory is. The memory is the manifestation of my soul. The memory is the extension, if we can say that, the extension of my soul to a past event, which is no longer present, but it is still within myself. I can reach this out, how? By remembering it. This remembrance is what? the manifestation that something has remained, where? Stuck on myself, my soul, my life. This is all a manifestation of a spiritual principle, non-material principle, that is very important for me to live as a human person. This is the manifestation that within myself, that I myself am more than only my body, than what I can see and touch. I am a spiritual person. So, in other words, the soul, the manifestation of this, of my soul, is important in order to understand what Jesus says in the Gospel while rebuking Satan at the moment of the temptations. You remember, Jesus' first reply to Satan, "Man does not live on bread alone." We don't need only bread for this life to be alive. The bread is important for our body, but there is another bread that we have to look for our soul. And what is the bread of our soul? Prayer. The prayer is the bread to nourish our soul. Because we cannot live on material things only. If we think that only bread is necessary, we die spiritually. Yes? For example, I just give you an example to understand what I mean. You can have all the bread of this world with you to be to have a very happy life, because you have, for now till the end of my life, all money to buy all the bread I need to be alive. Yes. But if I have a kind of burden to carry in my life, I can have all the money I want, but if I don't have the happiness in my life because something went wrong and I have no faith, I don't trust in God anymore, is that money enough to make me happy? Is something lacking in my life? And this is something material or spiritual? It is spiritual. So although I have all money to be happy, but if I don't have the happiness, because the happiness is not my money, is a spiritual element, is something coming from my spiritual life and eventually coming from God's presence in my life. I am very happy when I'm God, when I have God in my life, although I have to carry some burdens. If I don't have that happiness, I can have all the money I want to buy all the bread I can, but I won't be happy anyway. Yes? If I have all the money to be a beautiful house, anything I might need to live in this world, but for example, I live in a prison. I have all money, all food, but I live locked in a house all my life long, am I happy? Is that a life I want to live? No. And what is that thing which is lacking? Money? No, I have money. I have food. I have everything I can have. But I don't have something spiritual to be truly human. What I don't have? My freedom. To go out, to be, not only to go out materially, but to enjoy my freedom to choose what I want to choose. If I don't have this freedom, but I have all my money, I don't have a happy life. So there is something lacking. What? My soul. You see the soul? See that the soul is important? That's why prayer is very important, because I have the soul. I'm now understanding that I have the soul, but the soul has a life to be kept alive. right? And the way to keep this soul alive is not only to remember sometime that I have a soul, that I want to be free, that I want to be happy, but to have this happiness and freedom, I need something else to nourish my soul. What is the way to nourish my soul?
Prayer.
Correct. So prayer is to my soul what my soul is to my body. Fine?
Yeah.
You understand this? Yeah. Very good. Now we have to make reference to what Jesus says in the Gospel. Prayer is the vital element of my life. This is why Jesus in the Gospel says repeatedly that prayer is necessary. For example, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. We ought always to pray and not to give up. You remember this beautiful passage? And this beautiful passage is explained by a beautiful parable, the parable of the widow who was praying and begging that unjust judge to grant her justice, right? This widow was persistent. She was insisting, "You have to grant me justice because I deserve it." But the judge was unfortunately unjust, and he was trying to push her away and say, "Get out and leave me alone." What the Gospel says: for some time that judge refused to grant this widow justice, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keep bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." This is a parable, an example to let us understand how our prayer must be persistent. How our prayer has to go daily, to be a daily request. This is the reason why Jesus, the Gospel says, told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not to give up. The way to understand that we have to always pray is the example of this widow, right? And this answers also something that we normally say, or people say, we don't say, but people in general say, "I need just to say one good prayer, one Hail Mary, in a very concentrated manner, I'm very concentrated, say one Hail Mary in my day, maybe in my week, in my life, and that's it. I don't need to pray anymore, because God already knows everything. He doesn't need to listen to me. He knows. I just need to pray once, to pray very well concentrated, and that's it." Is that true? That's why we say better to say only one Hail Mary said properly than many Hail Marys but distracted. We try anyway, of course we have not to be distracted, but to say more than one Hail Mary is always more perfect than saying only one Hail Mary, because we have to pray always, not only once. Right? We do not eat only once. If prayer is the soul of my soul, I have to keep it alive every day, every moment. So we need to pray always. And in order to explain that the prayer is needed as an always action, so to speak, Jesus refers in the Gospel also another parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One of these was a Pharisee, and another one was a publican. And the Pharisee actually was praying, but he prayed about himself, the Gospel says. And he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, like this one here, the publican, who are robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, this publican. They were considered public sinners because they were tax collectors. And normally, you know, when you take some taxes, you try to bribe a little bit and take something for you. So that man, the Pharisee, was praying, but in order to show off what he was, and ignoring the very fact that prayer is not to pray about ourselves, but to pray in the presence of God, to pray to God. And we understand another very important aspect of prayer. When we pray, the very first thing is that we are aware of what we are doing, who we are speaking to. Because I can say whatever I want, but if I'm not aware of whom I'm speaking to, that prayer is what? There is no dialogue, no conversation. And as we will be saying, prayer is essentially a conversation with God. Conversation. To converse with God, to have a dialogue with Him. This is the object of another reflection. Now, we have to avoid this risk of praying, but to pray just about ourselves. No, we pray to God. We pray to Jesus Christ. We pray to our Blessed Mother Mary. And through her, we pray to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And not to show off what we are, but in order to beg for the salvation, for the remission of our sins, for the graces we need to be always spiritually alive and to have finally the final grace to be saved eternally. Then the tax collector was also praying, but essentially in a different way from this Pharisee. The tax collector stood at a distance. He was not worthy to even come closer to God, in his temple. He was from a distance praying and not even looking up to heaven, but beating his breast and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who was justified? Who was made just by the prayer? The Pharisee or this publican?
The publican.
Because this man was not exalting himself, but he was humbling himself in order to be exalted. So the prayer, now we understand in this parable, is also a way to lift us up where God is. The more we humble ourselves in God's presence, the more we are lifted up to His throne of glory. And this is the reason why to pray. Why do we need to pray? To be eternally saved. To have eternal salvation. That's why Saint Alphonsus Liguori said, if you pray, you can be saved. If you don't pray at all, you can't be saved. If you pray a little bit, and only seldom, your salvation is in danger. And now we have to understand this. Why? then salvation is very necessary. And why prayer is necessary for salvation? Let's now try to say something more doctrinally important. You know, shall we now make reference to something of the doctrine of our faith? We have been sanctified by the grace of our baptism. Yes? This is the very first sanctification. When we receive baptism, we are made holy because we receive sanctifying grace. Of course, we can lose that grace when we commit a mortal sin, but if we go to confession, we confess our sins, we can get sanctifying grace back. And we are back into the state of grace, into the state of holiness, that is, into the state of salvation, eternal happiness, eternal salvation. Right? So, baptism and the confession are the sacraments granting us sanctifying grace. But we know that even if we have been baptized, there is still a kind of inclination to sin. This is the concupiscence, yes? A way to be still inclined to commit a sin. So there is still a kind of weakness within ourselves. That's why if we are unfortunately still wounded by the original sin, by its consequences, we always need that grace in order to persevere in sanctifying grace. We need an extra grace, so to speak, in order to be able to always keep that sanctifying grace, avoiding any mortal sin, which makes us lose sanctifying grace. Yes? Are you with me?
Yes.
So, we need sanctifying grace, but we need also an actual grace. The difference is between sanctifying grace and actual grace. We need an actual grace to be faithful to sanctifying grace every day. Prayer is right, this actual grace, giving us the strength, the knowledge, the effort to be faithful to sanctifying grace perpetually, every day. That's why we have to pray every day. Pray always to remain faithful in that grace and finally to receive, to enjoy eternal life. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas says this: after baptism, continual prayer is necessary to man in order that he may enter heaven. For though by baptism our sins are remitted, there still remain concupiscence to assail us from within. Yes? And the world and the devil to assail us from without. There are still some enemies to face. So this is the reason why by prayer we are made strong against the enemy from within, this inclination to commit a sin, and the enemy from without, the devil, the world, the flesh. So this is the reason why prayer is necessary in order to persevere in sanctifying grace. If we persevere to the end in grace, we are saved. If we die in mortal sin, we are not saved. This is our catechism. How can we be sure to persevere in grace? We can never be sure if we don't pray. You see the importance of prayer? The importance of prayer is lies on the fact that we have to persevere day by day in prayer in order to have finally eternal salvation. To persevere day by day. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas says that the only way we may be sure to persevere in grace and to have eternal salvation is if we pray. Okay? So prayer is a necessary means. So the reason then which makes us, St. Alphonsus Liguori says, certain of the necessity of prayer is shortly this. In order to be saved, we must contend and conquer. He that strives for the mystery is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. But without the divine assistance, we cannot resist the might of so many and so powerful enemies. Now this assistance is only granted to prayer. Therefore, without prayer, there is no salvation. St. Alphonsus Liguori's statement. With no prayer, no salvation. Not because, this is not said because St. Alphonsus is quite rigid and pre-conciliar, as people try nowadays to say. St. Alphonsus is a doctor of the Church, and his teaching is actually founded in the Gospel. So the necessity of praying always comes from this. We need to persevere in that sanctifying grace and to fight against the enemies of our souls, internal, concupiscence, and external, the devil, the world, the temptations of the flesh, and so on. Right? So, prayer is necessary. Prayer is an important means of salvation. The necessary means of salvation. Let us now try. I hope you are okay with that. Are you able to follow? Very good. There is also the opportunity to ask questions anyway. If something is not clear, you have always the time for questions. Now, by saying this, we understand the importance of prayer, to be opened to God. And let's go back to the Gospel now. We said, quoting the Gospel of St. Luke, that we ought always to pray and never to give up. But there is also another passage in the Gospel, St. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. This is what? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, telling the three apostles who were with him to pray not to enter into temptation. That's why this sums up what we have just said about the prayer as a means of salvation, a prayer as a means to persevere in that sanctifying grace that we have received by baptism and we receive again through the sacrament of penance, confession. But also, there is another passage in the Gospel which explains more the necessity of prayer in order to ask for the grace to be eternally saved. And this is the Gospel of Matthew, for example, 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. This is the reason why the same Teresa, Saint Teresa of Avila, says that the one who seeks not does not receive. And this is the reason why we ought to pray every day. Because we have to seek for the things that are necessary to our salvation. We can't say God knows what I need, so I don't need to pray because He knows everything. God has disposed that those things necessary for me to be saved have to be asked by a humble prayer. The prayer of the publican at the temple, saying, God, have mercy on me. So, it's important to understand this in order to see that we are, before God, poor beggars. Salvation is not a right. Salvation is a gift, isn't it? Do we have the right to be saved? Can anyone say, I have the right of eternal salvation? Can you say that?
I have the right of eternal salvation.
We have the right of being good people. There is no right to eternal salvation. Eternal salvation is a gift, freely given. We can't claim before God any right. We can only beg humbly for His grace. And this is very, very important to change our way of dealing with Christian life. Because sometimes we understand Christian life as a kind of something that God owes to me. He has to give me something. You must give me life. But this is not necessarily spoken out. This is also said or understood this way. When we say, life is mine, and I do with my life whatever I want. Life is a right, my property. No, life is a gift. Spiritual life is a gift. Spiritual eternal salvation is not what I owe from God. Spiritual life is a gift, freely given. That's why I have to humbly pray for this intention, to always persevere in that gift that we have received when we were baptized. This is the greatest and greatest gift that we have received, to be Christians, to be called to be Christians. So the grace of salvation is in fact a grace, it's not a right. So we cannot be always stubborn and say, no, I don't need to pray because God knows and He is merciful, He has to save me because He is merciful. No, if we think like this, we deceive ourselves. Yeah? We need to pray. That's why Jesus is always saying the gospel, as we already quoted, that prayer is necessary. Prayer is a daily effort to receive from God the grace to persevere in that sanctifying grace and to be eternally saved. So let's not deceive ourselves by saying either to just become the owners of something that we have received freely, right? Life. Or just understand spiritual life as something that is given to me, and in the end God will think about it because He's in charge. I don't have to worry about anything. God knows. He's merciful. He can save my life. know. If we seek not, we do not find. If we do not knock the door won't be opened to us. So, my dear brethren, this is the reason why we have to pray. To pray every day. As the body without the soul then cannot live, so the soul without prayer is dead. And to quote Saint Augustine, we have to say that Saint Augustine uses these words. These words, as the body without, just quoted, as the body without the soul cannot live, so the soul without prayer is dead and emits an offensive odor. Saint Augustine uses these words because the man who omits to recommend himself to God at once begins to be defiled with sins. Prayer then is also, as we said at the beginning, held as the food of the soul, because the body cannot be alive without food. Nor can the soul be kept alive without prayer. So, dear brethren, with these considerations that we have made, let us now, this is the very first reflection, kind of introduction to the pathway we have to go through to understand the importance of prayer. So just to sum everything up, okay? In synthesis, what we said is prayer is necessary in order to gain eternal salvation. Prayer is to the soul what the soul is to the body. So the prayer is the soul of my soul. Okay? But in order to understand that the prayer is the soul giving life to my soul, I have to understand that I have got a soul. Yes? We got a soul. Prayer is necessary to persevere in grace, because there is only one way to know that we are saved, if we persevere in the grace of praying every day. That grace gives us the opportunity to remain in that sanctifying grace and then to be eternally saved. Salvation is not a right that God owes to you, but salvation is a gift, freely given to those who are children of God. So in order to receive always this gift afresh, so to speak, we have to persevere in the grace of prayer. Finally, with the Gospel, we said we have to always pray, we ought always to pray, and not to faint, not to give up. And this means that prayer is something to be understood as a daily operation, a daily work, spiritual, but the most important work of our spiritual life. Without prayer, there is no spiritual life at all, we should say. Okay? Right. This is for the first reflection, and I think this is enough for now.
Yeah.